Well, we started at the beginning of last session on our journey through the story. It all began with the creation and the description there that we have in Genesis of how God brought everything into being. But then we heard of how people depicted in the story of Adam and Eve, how people turned their backs on God. And as a result, there was what we can call the great divide. The great divide. You have God here and his creation over here. And the two divided and apart and separated. And that's what's described right at the beginning of the story. And ever since then, we've been working our way towards this moment and this part of the story. Because here, now, we have what is ultimately God's answer to deal with the problem that is in all human beings and has been from almost the beginning. To deal with this divide, this separation, this problem, if you will, that God is here and we are separated from him. How are the two to be brought together? How are the two to be reconciled, God and us, God and creation? This is what we've been working towards. And today we have God's answer. Today we have what God has done above all else for us. And it's all caught up in the person of Jesus. And in recent weeks we've been reflecting on the narratives of what Jesus did and how he spoke and taught. And we've been seeing how people were caused to make a decision for themselves about who Jesus was. Some of them thinking he was a good man, but nothing more than that. Others realizing that he was of God himself. And then today, in the story, what happened at the end. Folks, I know a lot of you bought a copy of the story right at the beginning. And sometimes as these things work out, we try to set ourselves a commitment that we will read along as we go, but with the best will in the world, sometimes we fall away and we get out of the pattern. If you have the story, please, through this coming week, read all of chapter 26. That's the chapter we're on. Please read all of it. It's so important. This morning, I want to highlight 10 of the things that happened to Jesus in these last hours of his life. I'm going to put the verses up, projected. Some of them, I'm not even sure I'll say anything. Maybe just the verses themselves will be enough. I want you this morning to get back in touch with actually what happened to Jesus in his dying hours. I want you to be in touch with what he went through in these dying hours. And above all else, as we reflect on each of these things and happenings, I want you to say to yourself over and over again, that was for me. You didn't speak it out, but please, in your heart, in your soul, deep within, say to yourself and know to yourself, that was for me. Much troubled in spirit, At that point, Jesus knew that he was going to be left alone. Abandoned by his very dearest friends. And for those crucial hours, it was going to be him against the world. He went through that being all alone for you. And then the emotional and that deep down spiritual anguish that he suffered in these hours. Please take note of that phrase, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow." Jesus went there and allowed himself to be in that place for you. It was for you. And don't forget the physical assault and attacks that he faced. The indignity of being spat at and punched and struck. It was for you. A long whip embedded with sharp pieces of bone and flint, lashed such that his skin was broken and torn. It was for you. It was for you. He put up with it all for you. And then, perhaps worst of all, in that very dying moment, having endured all of that, his sense that his father had given up on him and abandoned him. And that was very real. That deepest of moments was for you. All for you. You know, those who taunted him and mocked him and sneered at him, often as not, what they were saying was this: "Come on, get yourself down off that cross. If you're as smart as you say you are, if you are God, then get yourself off the cross now. Save yourself." Do you not think he could have? But he chose and was willing to remain on the cross and to suffer the abandonment of his friends, the anguish of his soul, the attacks of his enemies, and even the abandonment of his father for you. All for you. Folks, that could be the end of today's message. But I can't leave it there. partly because of the week that I've been involved in, even the last few days. Because what I have to do is somehow make sense of what we have just reflected on in the light of the real world that we live in. On Friday morning, I spent most of my morning, really, several hours in our growth academy. And there it was with 15-year-olds mainly, who had come to school that morning, most of them, to learn that one of their dear friends had just died so very suddenly the night before. And I'm sure this is something that you're familiar with from the local press and from the news. And then speaking with young Chloe's family, can you possibly say to a mum and a dad who now are living in this place without their beloved daughter? They lost her on Thursday night. Today is the third day that they'll have had to wake up and realise that she's gone. And though when we think of this Easter story, this Christian story, we're able to look ahead with regard to Jesus and say, but he rose again on the third day. There's a family here in Arbroath this morning, and their daughter isn't rising today. Earlier in the week, I visited an elderly lady. She's not part of our congregation as such, but we took on to care for her some years ago when she was released from Roxburgh House with a condition that she had been told was terminal. And indeed it is, but she is still lingering on in a slow and awful death. We care for her as best as we are able. On Thursday, I think it was, of this week, I went to visit with her. What to say to someone who is lying there, as much dead as alive, really, but this is the important thing. Someone who desperately wants to die. And that was all she had to say to me. Martin, I want to be away. I don't want to be alive anymore. I can't help holding those two things together. One, an elderly lady who desperately wants to be away. And on the other hand, a young girl with everything ahead of her. And this is how I get through. Because I believe that the anguish and the abandonment and everything that Jesus went through, he went through for these folks that I've just talked to you about. Chloe's family, right now, knows, I'm sure, more anguish and more a sense of being abandoned by God than they could ever, ever have imagined. So the only way I can cling on to it is by believing that Jesus is with them somehow in their suffering, because he knows where they are and knows himself what they're going through. So I asked you earlier, as we were reflecting on these verses, to keep saying to yourself about what Jesus went through, "It was for me, it was for me." I hope you did. But can you also say this morning, please, "It was for them. It was for them. It was for Chloe's family. It was for this lady who lies just wanting to be away. It was for each one who knows the pain and the struggles and the anguish and sometimes the awfulness of this life. They are not abandoned because Jesus is there with them in the middle of it." And folks, that's why when here we are today thinking about the death of Jesus, it's not just something that happened back then. It's not just a history story. It is reality that he died and is with us now. It was for you. It was for them. It was for all of us. Let's pray.